Well, welcome to the first sermon of this year of our Lord, 2021. We all made it through 2020. I think congratulations are in order, I guess, right? I want to thank Pastor Rob for inviting all the campus pastors to open this year up at our campuses by opening the Word today. And I don't know about you, but I woke up on Friday morning, January 1st of this new year, and I noticed something. Maybe you noticed this too. I hope that if maybe you haven't thought about this, that this isn't a discouraging thought for you, because you know we always want to be inspiring. We always want to be positive, right, in our sermons. But I woke up Friday morning and I realized this. Nothing changed except the calendar. Right? I mean, the same things we were dealing with before, we're dealing with now. It wasn't like, I mean, the way some people talked leading up to the new year, it was almost like they expected that as the clock struck midnight on New Year's Eve, that magically all the things wrong in our world would suddenly be made right. All of the sickness would be made well, all of the fighting would cease, all of the political battles would be over, poverty would cease, and the Vikings would be in the playoffs, headed toward the Super Bowl, while Packer fans were rooting for the purple to win, right? Come on, can I get an amen, right? I believe in miracles. Oh, praise the Lord. But, I mean, it's almost the way it seemed. Some folks were thinking because we were so ready for 2020 to come to an end, right? And I get it. I get this sentiment. It really, it's the result of coming through what really was a very challenging year for so many in so many different ways. But as we turn the page and as we launch into this new year together as the church of Jesus Christ here in Faribault, I hope that we do so with an even clearer vision than what we thought we had going into the year 2020. And remember, at the start of last year, we began with high hopes, thinking it was going to be we had so much to look forward to, and we were going in with clear 2020 vision, right, playing off the 2020 theme, and we were looking forward to celebrating our 25th anniversary as a church. We had the theme of holding nothing back, right? And we were really excited stepping into it, believing that it was going to be a year like no other. And then just a couple months in, it was like the wheels came off, right? And we kind of really did have a year like no other year that we've ever experienced. And so many things caught us off guard. We changed quickly. How many of you know 2020? It wasn't what any of us expected to be, was it? And so here we are stepping into a new year, maybe a little bit more cautiously than we stepped into last year, maybe with a little bit more humility, a little bit more understanding that we really don't know any more about what this year's going to hold than we found out that we knew about what last year was going to hold. And so we're looking ahead to this year, but honestly, this year is a mystery. It's a mystery that's going to unfold one day at a time. It's a mystery that's going to unfold moment by moment by moment, just like every other year does. And I hope that what we've experienced over the last year, it makes us recognize that we don't control very much in our lives. And if we're wise, we need to acknowledge our dependency on God on a daily basis more than we ever have before. And so I want to talk today about how we can do this better. I want to talk about what things we can do to take the things that we've experienced and to let those things motivate us towards living this year closer to Jesus than we ever have before. Living this year in a way that is going to enable us to have a greater impact than what we've ever had before. And let me say from the start that what I'm talking about, it doesn't mean that we're doing things to try and make God do more. Because how many of you know God has not stopped working? God didn't take a break in 2020, and that's why everything kind of fell apart. It wasn't because God said, I'm just going to rest for this year. No, God was working. God was active. God was moving throughout the year. He doesn't ever stop working. And in fact, I'm more convinced that God is at work now than I ever have been in my entire life. I mean, think about what God tells the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, when Paul was asking God to move in his life and to take away his thorn in the flesh, God says these words to the Apostle Paul. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God's power is the most evident. God's power is perfected, not when you and I are operating in our strengths, not when everything seems to be going exactly like we planned it to be, but it is perfected in our powerlessness. It's perfected. God's power is perfected when we're operating in a place of weakness. And I got to tell you, this last year, I have never felt so powerless or so out of control as a leader, as a pastor, needing to trust God more than ever than I did in the last 10 months. I mean, think about it. There's over 50% of just our campus, over 50% of our campus that have not been back to church since March of last year. I mean, there's good people from our campus. I haven't seen them face to face since the last service we had in March before everything shut down and went online. And I understand why. I don't have any hard feelings, but listen, as a pastor, it's hard to be so disconnected from so many people. And it's difficult to feel powerless to do anything. So if God's power works best in our weakness, then I have no doubt that God has been at work. I have no doubts that God is moving. And so the question isn't going to be, is God going to move this year? The real question is this: are we going to get ourselves more aligned with him in what he is doing this year? Can I say that again? The real question that you and I need to ask is, what are we going to do to get ourselves more aligned with God in what he is doing in this new year? So that when we reach the end of this year, we can look back and we can be amazed, not that we survived a year, but that we thrived no matter what 2021 brings our way. That's what I want to see at the end of this year. And so in 2021, yes, I want to see God move, not because I don't think that he has been moving, but because I believe he is moving and I want to be a part of it. I don't think we need to ask God to show up. God is here. We just need to ask God to wake us up to what he's doing. I was thinking this week about the story in 2 Kings chapter 6 where Elisha and his servant, they were getting under the skin of the king of Aram because he would make these plans to attack Israel. God would reveal prophetically to Elisha, and then Elisha would tell the king, and then the king of Aram's plans would fail. Could you imagine how that'd get frustrating? And so they surrounded the prophet. They wanted to kill the prophet. And they got up in the morning and the servant looked around and was kind of freaked out because they were surrounded by all of this army of this foreign nation. And I love what Elisha said to him in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. He says, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Whew. Those who are with us are more than those against us. In that same way, listen, I want to be praying this year, Lord, open our eyes so that we can see that there are more with us than those against us, that we can see that in the things that are happening in our world that maybe cause us to be confused or cause us uncertainty, there, God is completely in control. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see you move. We believe that you're moving. We believe that there are more with us. Help us to see with eyes of faith what you're doing in this world, what you're doing in our families, what you're doing in our church, what you're doing in my life. God, open my eyes. I think that if we want to see God move like we never have, then we need to push into God and pursue him like we never have before. We need to press into the things of God with more resolve. We need to have a new tenacity. We need to have a greater passion, a stronger commitment, so that we can grab hold of the things of God and we can let go of the things of the world. That's why we are calling the church again this year to start this year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And it's also why we're stepping up our Bible reading with our soap sprint through the New Testament that starts today. Matthew chapter 1 through 9 today. Dive in. Let's go. Let's read that New Testament in this month of January. We're believing that these next 21 days, the next 3 weeks, are going to set the tone for God to use us and for us to see him working in the next 12 months. And I believe these next 21 days are very important days for us. They're very important days for our church. I believe they're important days for our nation. I believe that they're important for the work that God is going to do all over the world, and I don't want to miss it. And I hope that you don't want to miss it either. And the only way that you and I will make sure that we don't miss what God is doing is to make sure that we do everything that we can to bring all of us, all of ourselves, every part of who we are, our body, soul, and spirit, into alignment with the things of God. Let me explain that just a little bit, because I want us to understand why we're doing this, why we're calling the church to 21 days of prayer and fasting and Bible reading. You see, we are created as three-part beings, right? We are a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. Okay? That makes sense? Let me explain a little more. We are a spirit. Your spirit is the real you. It's the core of who you are. It's the part of you that's alive. Author Beth Jones, in her book Seven Basics, says it this way: the person who lives behind your eyeballs is the real you. I love that. The spirit person. It's the part of us that when we confess Jesus as our Lord and when we became a Christian, our spirit is instantly what's born again and changed. You were forgiven, you were made righteous, and you became an entirely new person. We just read a few minutes ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. That new person, that new creation, that's you, that's your spirit. The old spirit's removed. The Lord gives us a new spirit. Let me just say this, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never made him Lord of the life, you will have an opportunity to do that before you leave today, for your spirit to be reborn. But know this, each one of us, we are a spirit, and we also have a soul. We are a spirit, we have a soul. And I don't know, maybe if you're like me, you watched the new Disney movie over this last week called Soul. Anybody watch that? There's a few. It's a cute movie, maybe not completely biblical, a representation of our soul, but it was overall a good positive message. There's your movie review for the day. But we have a soul, and our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our soul, it's our personality. It's something that's distinct from our spirit. And can I say, most of the battles that we face in our lives are struggles in our soul. It's the place that I think we most need God to help us gain victory. Victory in our thoughts, victory in our emotions, victory in our choices. Because when we accept Christ as Lord and he forgives us and he gives us new spirits, that might bring a lot of peace and freedom to our lives. But how many of you know that in our mind and in our emotions and oftentimes in our actions, there's a part of us that can still feel guilty, right? And we can still be caught up in patterns or addictive behaviors or fear, anxiety, or lust, or bitterness, or anger. And sometimes it takes a lot of work to learn how to think right, to learn how to act right, to act in ways that honor God, to break out of destructive patterns in our lives. It's a process that's called sanctification. It's unlearning and putting off old destructive patterns, wrong ways of thinking, and it's putting on new ways of thinking and new ways of behaving that are in line with how God really created us to live. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Learning how to put off the old and put on the new. It's the soul work of following Jesus. It's the soul work of being a Christian. It can be hard. It can be frustrating. It takes humility. It takes honesty. But can I tell you this? It's worth it. It's worth it to move forward and to grow in the things of God. And God promises that he's going to help us through with his word. And he promises that he's going to help us by his Holy Spirit. He's going to guide us and he's going to correct us and he's going to direct us as we walk out this soul work of sanctification. We are a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body. So these physical bodies that we have, this is the house that our spirit and our soul live in. It's kind of like, I like to think of it this way, it's like the vehicle that God gives us to travel around in through life. And when we become a Christian, when our spirit is made new, and when we begin that work of soul change or sanctification, how many of you know, not much changes with our physical body, right? No matter how much we might wish it would. I mean, if you have blue eyes, not enough hair, and a little too much chin before you get saved, you're still going to have blue eyes, not enough hair, and a little too much chin after you get saved. And so you say, well, what role does our body play? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." See, the Bible says that your body is his temple. And since it's the Lord's temple, he expects you to take care of his place. And he wants us to be in control of these bodies instead of letting our physical bodies be in control of us. How many of you know that if we let it, our bodies want to be in charge of everything, don't they? I mean, our appetites and our lusts, they want to call the shots. They want to dominate our lives. I mean, think about it. It's no wonder that so many people get caught up in obsessive disorders and addictions to food or drugs or alcohol or pornography, because the body screams for these things. So how do we overcome? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices." You see, they had this whole sacrificial system where they would bring sacrifices to God, and it always involved something dying. But what Paul's saying here is, no, offer your bodies. If you want to overcome, then you offer your body a living sacrifice. That means you die to yourself, but you live for him. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. I believe that if we do this, when we bring our physical bodies under submission to Jesus, we determine that we're going to let God lead us, that he's going to work in our lives, he's going to help us control these physical bodies. And when our bodies are under control with God's help, not controlled by our appetites, not controlled by our desires, I believe that it puts us in a place where God can and he will use us for his purposes. Which brings us back to the point of all of this. The only way to make sure that we don't miss what God wants to do in us and through us this year is to make sure that we do everything we can to bring all of ourselves, body, soul, spirit, into alignment with the things of God. This is how we do that. What I'm about to tell you isn't a big new revelation. But my prayer and my hope is that maybe we approach these things and we see it with a brand new motivation after everything that we've experienced this year as we head into a new year. This is how we come into alignment. We bring our spirit into alignment with God through prayer. We bring our soul into alignment with God through reading his word. And we bring our body into alignment with God by fasting. And if we want to align our spirits to see God move, I think we need to pray like we've never prayed before. So for the next 21 days, can I ask you this? Will you set aside time to pray? Will you make room in your routine to sit and pray or to walk and pray? Maybe you can use the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6 as a model for prayer. Maybe you can get a journal and write out things that you're praying for. Maybe you want to find a prayer partner. Maybe you want to find somebody that you can sit and pray with. Or maybe you want to find time alone in a secret place, place with no distractions. Turn off the notifications on your phone. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Spend uninterrupted time talking with your Heavenly Father. A.J. Gordon, who was cited in E.M. Bounds' book, Purpose and Prayer, said this, said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." Think about that. Oswald Chambers, in his book, Prayer, A Holy Occupation, said, "Prayer does not fit us for the greater works. Prayer is the greater work." We're going to bring our spirit into greater alignment with God when we pray. And we're going to bring our soul into greater alignment with God when we read his word. Can I share with you a testimony? This is somebody from our campus that wrote this, put it on their Facebook page actually last week. And she said this, 12 months ago, I made a commitment to myself to read the Bible every single day for an entire year. Inspired by my church and my best friend, I took on the challenge, at first only listening to it while reading because it seemed so foreign in so many ways. Although I grew up in the church, I never truly had an intimate relationship with my true papa. 12 months later, having filled many journals, I feel radically changed. Every morning, excited to wake up and read God's word, feel God's love, give thanks for all the insane blessings in my life. I have been able to face 2020 and all its challenges with the security that can only come from one person. And now I'm looking forward to another 12 months. Isn't that an awesome testimony? Come on, let's commit ourselves to getting into God's word like we've never have before. By letting it shape our thinking, letting it convict us when it needs to convict us, letting it change and challenge us when it needs to challenge us. Do you know the Bible says when we read his words, we're blessed? When we read the Bible, we're blessed. You don't always have to understand everything you're reading. You don't have to have it all figured out, but you're blessed just by reading the word of God. I believe that when we read his word, God speaks to us. I believe that when we get in his word, he guides us. I believe that when we read the word, we gain wisdom and insight. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." If you want to know what's ahead of you, you need to be in the word of God, because that's where the light of your on your path comes from. Let's get in the word. Start the year with our soap sprint. Let's read the whole New Testament together. Get the River Valley app for the reading plan. It's all there. Follow along. And when that's over, find another reading plan. Maybe the Bible in 1 year from YouVersion. The YouVersion Bible on your smart device has so many reading plans for reading and getting into the scriptures. We bring our spirit into greater alignment when we pray. We bring our souls into greater alignment when we read his word. And we bring our bodies into greater alignment when we say no to what our flesh wants, and we do that by fasting. And I'm just listening, I can already hear our flesh and our appetite screaming at us saying, "What? We don't really have to do that, right?" Andrew Murray, in his book, With Christ in the School of Prayer, said this, "Prayer is the one hand with which we grasp the invisible, fasting the other with which we let loose and cast away the visible." Listen, Jesus is calling us to a life of being spiritually in shape and ready for whatever opportunities come. And honestly, we don't have a clue what 2021 is going to bring. Just like we had no clue about 2020. But I know that we're called to watch and pray. I know that we're called to be ready to be used by God. I hear the words of Jesus as he called his disciples to prayer in Matthew 26:41. He said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Your flesh is weak. If you're just ruled by your appetites, it's just proof that your flesh is weak. You know, I think a lot of times we approach the things of God way too casually. And I think too often we find that we're willing to follow Jesus when it's convenient or when it's easy. But when it starts to mess with our preferences, or when it starts to mess with our schedules, when it starts to mess with our routines, or when it starts to mess with our appetites, we pull back. I believe that some of the things that God wants to do in us and through us this year, we're only going to see it happen if we get serious about our spiritual lives. Let's not be like the disciples who had noble ambitions but not a lot of follow through. Let's put in the work that's necessary to experience victory in our lives, because I don't think a casual Christianity is going to provide the strength or the spiritual alignment that we're going to need to see all the ways that God is moving this year. And so we're calling the church to fast, to say no to something that we want. Is it easy? No, that's why it's called fasting. That's, you're saying no to something you want. It's hard. It's hard work. But there's something about fasting and saying no to something that we want so we can say a greater yes to the things of God that God honors. And we will be bringing ourselves into greater alignment with all that God is doing. And so we're calling the church each Wednesday of these 21 days of prayer and fasting to a corporate fast. You may want to fast some other things throughout these 21 days. You may want to give up some other things as a kind of a consecration, consecrating yourself to God. But fasting is giving up saying no to food. And so we're calling the church to fast every Wednesday for these next 21 days, on Wednesday the 6th, on Wednesday the 13th, and on Wednesday the 20th, to abstain from eating food on those days. And I understand that if there's a medical reason that I want, if you need to consult your doctor about it, that's perfectly fine. This isn't a legalistic thing. This is a consecrated, this is something we're doing to press in and to become into alignment with the things of God. And we invite you to do that with us. Let's grab hold of the things of God. Let's let go of the things of the world. Let's say yes to God and no to our fleshly appetites in order that we can bring our lives into greater alignment. Will you join us? Will you do it? Let me close with this last thought from John the Baptist. As Jesus was beginning his public ministry, as people began to follow Jesus instead of John, some of John's disciples were like, well, what's going on? You know, I thought you were the man. Like, well, like, what's going on? And John the Baptist said these words, such profound words in John chapter 3, verse 30. He said this, he said, he must become greater and greater. I must become less and less. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of earth and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. Listen, our mission as a church is to lead people to an authentic, life-changing relationship with Jesus. That's why we're here. Our purpose is to make much of Jesus in this world. Everything else is secondary. Everything else takes a back seat to lifting up Jesus. And for us to do that, we need to do everything we can to align ourselves with what God is doing. And we align our spirits when we pray. We align our souls when we read his word. And we align our bodies when we fast. John 5:17. Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. My Father is always working. If you've ever in your life felt like God wasn't working or that something wasn't, it wasn't because God wasn't working. It was because you maybe weren't aligned with what God was doing. My Father is always working, and so am I. And so let's all of us be about our Father's work this year. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I believe God is working in this room right now. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I encourage you that this is your moment, this is your day to say yes to Jesus. You see, God loves you. God loves you more than you can even imagine. God has a good plan for your life. God has purposes for you. The first step to living out God's dreams for your life is to surrender to Him. See, too often we try to do it on our own and we find out that we can't. We give in to our appetites. We give in to our desires that lead us into things that hurt our lives, that damage us, that break us spiritually, emotionally, physically. But God says, I have a better way. And so today, if you're here in this room and you know that you're not right with God, you know that maybe you feel far from God, maybe you don't think you've seen God working, God is working. He is with you. And I think today's the day that you turn around and say, all right, I'm coming home. And if that's you today, I want to pray with you. And so I'd love to ask you to do this with heads bowed and eyes closed. If that's you today and you know that it's your day to get right with God, you know that this is your moment, would you let me know that we're praying together by just lifting your hand so I can see it? And then you can put it back down. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Are there others? Come on, it's time to come home. Praise God. Okay, you can put your hands down. Let's pray this together. Everyone, let's pray this out loud together. Say these words. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Today I come to you and I confess that I have sinned. But today I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life, Lord. I believe you died for me. And I believe you rose again so that I could have new life. I receive that life today. And I choose to walk in it for the rest of my days. Jesus, in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise God. Let's stand together and thank God for his goodness. Thank God that he's working. Thank God that he's moving. Praise God. Praise God. Prayer teams, come and join me across the front as we get ready to close our service today. 21 days. 21 days to set the tone for this year. 21 days to bring our lives better into alignment with what God is doing. God is working. God is working. God has dreams for you this year. God has things he wants to do in you and through you this year. And we invite you to come into alignment with those things that God wants to do in your life. And in our church and in our world. So for the next 21 days, we're setting aside time to pray so we can bring our spirits into alignment with him. We're setting aside time to read his word, to get into his word. We're reading the whole New Testament in the month of January, starting today, so that we can bring our soul into alignment with God, with what God wants to do. And we're gonna fast. Maybe if you've never fasted before, I believe there's going to be breakthrough in your life. I believe that God is going to speak to you in ways that maybe you never have before. You're going to get rumbles in your tummy, and each one of those is going to be a call to prayer. Each one of those is going to be a call to go deeper into the things of God. It's okay to say no to your flesh, to say yes to God. It is. So let's do it. Let's do it together. Praise God.